Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, that's WBEST. Stokers and Beers, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Time on deck is 8:03 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 46 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Our topic for today is going to be Knicks ground the Hawks. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be but not limited to Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, and action recap from other NBA action. The host will cover scores and breaking news from NFL, MLB, NHL, and NCAA. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will stop by to talk all things New York Knicks. All right. Just letting everybody know, we talk about a lot of football on this talk. We talk a lot about NFL on this talk show because this is a football talk show. So we talk a lot about NFL, but we do cover NBA, MLB, NHL, NCAA. men's and women's sports. We also cover horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests. Anything that comes across the monitor as a sport, we will cover it. If you don't know about the sport that we're talking about, we can teach you about it when you call in. If we don't know about what you're talking about when you call in, you can teach us about it. With that being said, the guest call in line is 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. When you call into the show, just announce your first and last initial, first and last initial only, and the state you're calling from, not the city. Just first, last initial you're calling from. We like to keep everybody discreet in case you're supposed to be on the clock working. We don't want the boss to know that you're on the show on my show talking sports. All right, again, our topic for today is Knicks ground the Hawks. The host of the debate, professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be but not limited to Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, and action recap from other NBA action. The host will cover scores and breaking news from NFL, MLB, NHL, and NCAA. The show's number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, will stop by to talk all things New York Knicks. All right, speaking of breaking news, we got some big breaking news, something that we've been praying about at the end of each one of our shows. Excuse me. Something that we've been talking about at the end of each one of our shows, which is the release of Brittany Griner. I woke up this morning and turned on Fox News, and I seen that they had freed Brittany Griner overnight. She is freed from a Russian prison, a Russian penal colony, and headed back to the United States. She is freed from a Russian penal colony and headed back to the United States as we speak. So we want to just say, however you believe, whatever way you believe, I'm a universalist, but I do have a Christian base. But I just want to say I'm thankful to the universe for opening up a way for Brittany Griner to be released and returned to her family before Christmas, which is what I've been praying for the last couple shows, praying for her family during this time, praying for her during this time so she could be released before Christmas came. And I woke up this morning and Christmas came early for me and the show, because what we had been praying for actually happened. Brittany Griner has been released from a Russian penal colony and headed back home to the United States to be with her family, and that's right on time, right before Christmas. So Santa Claus came early for Brittany Griner and her wife and her family. So we are happy on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show that our prayers that we put up into the universe have been answered. Brittany Griner is on her way home. So, and they also said that they're still trying to free Paul Whelan as well. They haven't forgot about all the other hostages that's overseas. They're still trying to free Paul Whelan as well. And we want to pray. We want to throw a prayer up into the universe for Paul Whelan to be reunited with his family before Christmas as well. So that's our breaking news for today. Once again, for those of you just tuning in, Brittany Griner, WNBA star with the Phoenix Mercury and USA Olympic team member for women's basketball, has been freed, and she is on her way back to the United States. President Biden got her freed overnight through a U.S.-Russian prisoner swap, and she's on her way back home to be able to spend the holiday, Christmas holiday, and the new year with her family. She's coming back home, and just keep her in our prayers that God gives her the strength to get over this whole ordeal, to keep her mentally safe. You know, because I couldn't imagine being in another country that long in jail and then in a penal colony. I couldn't imagine it. So we're just going to pray that God keeps her mental health in the right place, and that she gets the counseling and therapy that she needs from the professionals out there, and praying that she gets all the love and support that she needs from her family, her friends, and all her teammates and in the WNBA and the whole WNBA and NBA family. Hopefully that they give her all the love and support that she needs to get back to what we like to call normal. Whatever normal is for her, we're just praying that she gets all the support that she needs to get back to what she considers her norm. All right. Again, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stoking the Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoking the Beer Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST. And before I get off into some of our topics and our news stories that we're going to be covering today, I'm supposed to have two contributors coming in today, possibly my man JB from Michigan. JB from Michigan, he should be calling in if I'm correct. If he doesn't call in, no problem. But at the same time, I'm supposed to have my man DC from Maryland, which is our number one sports contributor. JB is our number two sports contributor, but I was trying to get both of them on the show at the same time. But my man DC from Maryland, he's not going to be able to call in to the 15-minute mark into the second hour. No problem. Hopefully he'll show up for work. But anytime the New York Knicks have a big win or big loss, I'd like to have him on the show. And last night, the New York Knicks, they grounded the Hawks. The New York Knicks grounded the Hawks. I forgot how many points they won by, but if I'm correct, it was a pretty significant margin. I believe it was at least by 10 or 12, if I'm remembering right, which kind of surprised me because I thought that Ice Trey, I know when Ice Trey usually goes to the Garden, Ice Trey usually makes it kind of cold out there. Even though it's cold in New York right now, I know Ice Trey, when he comes to the Garden, he'll usually still turn down the temperature just a little bit low, sub-zero up in there. But I don't know what happened to Ice Trey last night. He didn't do his normal get off. You know, I don't think that the Hawks shot very well from three last night. I don't think they shot very well from three at all. Julius Randle seemed to be steering the ship pretty good last night. But anyway, we'll get back to that in a second. I wanted to share something with everybody, which is what I was saying earlier. Is that before we get off into the topic real good, I have a little testimonial that I want to throw out here to my street free agents. And I'm not going to do too much street free agent talk till after the NFL draft, to be honest. And I'm going to be really gearing that towards all the guys that are NFL camp hopefuls for the year 2023 NFL draft. I'm going to shift my focus to them around the week of the draft, pretty much the week of the draft, trying to go ahead and get those guys in, get those guys mentally prepared for street free agency. Right now, it's no point to really keep beating a dead horse on it because most of the guys that just graduated school or played their last game, whether they graduated or not, they played their last game in college. They're what you call an NFL draft hopeful. NFL NFL camp hopeful. And when I say NFL camp hopeful, that means that you're not on the draft board. Most of these guys, they think they're on the draft board coming out of college right now from Division II, Division III, NCAA schools, and NAIA schools. Again, NFL camp hopefuls are guys that are going to need a free NFL draft is over. But unfortunately, most of them think that they're on the draft board to be selected. They don't understand that you have to have a draft grade, meaning you did a junior day. You got your measurables, took the Wonderlic, probably did some drills, probably, you know, done a bench press, done a 40 times. Just depends on what the NFL scouts that came out to your institution wanted you to do. And then they'll go back and report that, put their reports into these different data analytics system, give you a draft grade, and then that way the NFL teams, the NFL franchises know per 100 people per position who they have on there that's actually the best fit for them to select to bring in. So basically it's a process, a weeding out process. But most of our small school kids, they think that, oh, I play college ball, I'm on the draft board because I'm draftable. No, that's not how it goes. You need to, number one, have an agent and declare. You need to have an agent and declare for the draft. You need to have an agent. Well, let me correct myself, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Because you don't have to have an agent when you go. Most of the time, when you're going into the NFL draft situation, it may be good to have an agent so you can make sure that you are actually on the draft board. If I was a small school kid, I would try to find me an agent and be like, hey, could you verify that I have a draft grade or whatever? And so they can just you'd be better prepared knowing that when the draft starts, you're not even able to be selected because you're not on the draft board. So for a small school kid to get an agent, that would be the first thing that I would be asking my agent. Can you verify that I'm even able to be selected? Because in most cases, you're going to find out you're not even able to be drafted because you're not on the draft board, probably because in most cases, most small school kids don't even get a junior day. Most don't get a junior day. And that already really knocks you out the mix. The next thing is, if you don't do a pro day, because most small school kids don't get offered a pro day, that's the second thing that knocks you out the mix. So, but let me correct myself. If I'm correct, I'll verify. You don't have to have an agent going into the draft, because Lamar Jackson went into the draft and he didn't have an agent. He still doesn't have an agent. His mother represented him. So I want to correct that. You don't have to have an agent, small school kids, to get on the draft board, but you do need to do a junior day to get a draft ranking so they can know what's your draft grade so you can be selected off the board. And then if you don't get offered a pro day, you really don't have a shot, because now they don't even have any numbers for the teams to look at, because you didn't do an NFL sanction pro day at an NFL sanctioned event at one of the NCAA institutions. So, with that being said, there's just a little tidbit on street free agency for all of you NFL camp hopefuls 2023. And I'm not saying NFL draft hopefuls, because most of you NCAA Division II, III, and NAIA kids are not going to be draftable. Your goal would be most of you guys are not going to be draftable coming out of the NCAA again, Division II, III, or NAIA schools. You're not going to be draftable. So what your thing is, you're going to be an NFL camp hopeful, hoping to get a free agent contract, whether you have an agent, manager, whatever the goal is, for you to get a free agent that the draft is over with, meaning they're going to invite you out. You do your little three-day rookie mini camp type deal, and then hopefully you do well enough there for them, just go ahead and say, all right, we're going to bring you into camp. We got X amount of running backs we're going to bring into camp. We're going to add you to the list. We're going to bring one or two more running backs, so you one of them. Hopefully that's the type of information that you'll be getting from an NFL team. So that's why I say, you know, most of you guys that I deal with in NCAA Division II, III, and NAIA kids, you're what I consider a 2023 NFL camp hopeful, because you're hoping to get an NFL free agent camp contract to do a three-day workout to earn a camp roster spot. That's what you're hoping for. Now, my testimony that I want to get into before my man JB calls in. I think I told him to call in at 8:15 Pacific, 11:15 Eastern. Hopefully he'll call in, because I want to ask him some things about some NBA stuff, the Detroit Pistons losing to my New Orleans Pelicans. And also I want to ask him about some breaking news in baseball from yesterday. Aaron Judge's new signing of a $360 million contract. Also the deal with Verlander going to a new team and his deal. So hopefully JB will call in, but I definitely know I can cover those topics with DC from Maryland when he calls in, because he does everything in all three sports, baseball, basketball, football. So we'll get a lot from DC at the 9:15 mark or 11:15 Eastern mark when he calls in 15 minutes into hour number two. But I'm going to keep on steering the ship, because that's what I do as the captain. I'm going to keep on steering the ship. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST. It is 46 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Time on deck is 8:20 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right. Testimony for me that I want to share with you guys before I get into my guest sports contributors calling in. Stand by 1 second. I had to give me a little coffee in me. But what I want to share was a testimony from last night, and this for you street free agents. And I'm a time code this at the 8:20, at the 8:20 mark, street free agent testimony. On November the 13th, I was doing an event called Hub Camp. Hub Camp, which I tell you all the time on here, is ran by Super Agent Don Yee. I call him Super Agent Don Yee because he is the agent for Tom Brady. Yes, the GOAT, Tom Brady, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all times. Don Yee has his own free agent camp called Hub. Look it up on Twitter, at capital H, capital U, capital B, all together at on Twitter. Now, November 13th, they had an event. I had one of my players there, one of my players under management services, Pat Isbell, defensive end out of the German football league, GFL1 for the Galaxy. He was there working out, getting his pro workout done at Hub Camp, you know, showcasing for the USFL, New Orleans Breakers, and others that was in attendance. However, this testimony is not about my client under management service, Pat Isbell. It's not about Pat. It's about another young man that I ran into in the bathroom while I was attending the event. I was washing my hands in the restroom, and a young man walks in, and we casually speak and say, "Hey, what's going on? How you doing?" And I said, I was asking him, "What time you guys going up? What time you guys going up for your position group? When y'all going up?" He said, "Well, we about to get ready to do our stuff now." And then so as I was walking away, he said, "Hey, man, you the guy from Twitter." And then so I was like, "Yeah, that's me." And it was just funny that he was flying in from Miami. And it's like, you know, I was like, "Man, you coming in from Miami. How do you even know who I am?" I mean, yeah, but he was like, you know, I see you on Twitter. We talked a couple times on Twitter, matter of fact. We DM'd each other a couple times. And I said, "Oh, okay." And so, but it just was funny how when you can run into somebody out, not even on social media, but you're out in real world. It's a real world scenario. You just, you know, like I said, I had just got done eating something, and I was trying to wash some food off of my hands. And, you know, he just happened to be coming into the men's room, and we bump into each other, and we just start talking. And he come to find out that he had already knew who I was. And then we talked later on that night, because I had said, "Hey, man, you know, I want to do something for you, because I appreciate you recognizing who I am in real space, not online, not in the virtual space. You recognize me in this real world, in a real world scenario. You coming way from Miami, and I'm all the way out here in San Diego, California, and you saw me and you knew who I was." And so I appreciated that. And I appreciate him walking up to me and letting me know. He did share with me that he also had seen me in the stands, and he recognized me, and he said he was going to make it a point to make his way to me sometime before that event was over with. And so it just lined up the right way. We wound up in the same spot, and where we could exchange greetings. So I told him, "I'm gonna take your film, and I'm gonna send it out to a couple key people that I know, and just see what they can do for you. You know, you at Hub Camp already showcasing for the USFL. Let me take your film and everything, and shoot it out to a couple people that I know. They probably can just give you an opportunity to play ball in the United States versus another country," because he had been playing down south, Baja California, in Mexico. He had been playing down in Mexico, and in the LFA league, or the LAF league, whichever. They got the LFA and the LFN, if I'm correct. You can correct me later. If you hear the show, the gentleman I'm talking about, he can correct me later if he hears the showpiece, this testimony. But if you'd like to call me and correct me or debate me on the show, it's 515-602-9687. Guest call in line is 515-602-9687, and I'm speaking in regards to calling in and correcting me about the Mexican League. I believe they're called the LFN and the LAF leagues in Mexico. But anyway, I got a couple guys that used my management services and still do that played down there last year as well. But anyway, the young man I'm speaking of, I was trying to get him an opportunity to come out of Mexico to play in the United States, because my whole thing is I tell guys, man, try to stay as close to the money as you can. And when I say stay close to the money, I mean be in the United States, try to get on TV in the United States, or try to get in some league that got some kind of internet access to where they can see your games or whatever in the United States. So I said I was going to help him out. Since he recognized me, I said, I'm going to do you a favor, send your stuff out to a couple of different teams and things like that to see if we can get you picked up, you know, on a pro-developmental film league team here in the United States. Anyway, I was trying to, going back to my client that I was out there at the Hub Camp watching Patty Isbell, I was trying to get Control Football League to give him access to register for the event in L.A. Because Pat's coming, my client Pat is coming out of Arizona. And so I was like, hey, I hit my people up in Fan Control Football in the personnel department, you know, that's the people that's in charge of player personnel, player development. I was hitting them up, asking if they could open up the portal one more time so my guy Pat Isbell could go ahead and register for the L.A. event because it was closer to his region. Him coming out of Arizona rather flying all the way to Georgia or Texas or wherever the case may be. Now, follow me here. My contact in the front office hit me up on email, and he said, hey, man, we're going to actually be changing that L.A. workout. We're going to cancel that one and make another date. So we'll let you know shortly what the new date is for your guy to register for our cool, no problem. And he says, also, I talked to the one player I'm talking about doing this testimony. But I said, I talked to the one player, and I'm gonna keep you posted on him. I'll be in touch with you about him. And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. So that young man that I ran into in San Diego at the Hub Camp, I called him and I said, hey, man, I just got word from the player development, player personnel department for Fan Control Football that they spoke with you. Now, I'm thinking that they had talked on the phone. This is the funny part. This is why I'm telling you the story. I'm thinking that they had talked on the telephone or something like that via phone call. And so when I told him this, he kind of confused me because he's like, we talked, I ran into him out here. I'm at this bowl game or whatever, and I ran into him. And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm trying to figure out if we're talking about the same thing. And I said, so they didn't call you from Fan Control? He said, no, they didn't call me. I'm at a bowl game in Mexico, the Aztec Bowl. I'm in this Mexican All-Star game called the Aztec Bowl, and where we're playing a lot of the top-level D1 college athletes from Mexico, and then they're playing a lot of the U.S. athletes against a lot of the U.S. global athletes or whatever. Global athletes in the U.S. It's a combination of mix. All-star game with a lot of high-level D1 college Latino young men, and then a lot of U.S. young men, and I think they might even invite some guys from the global community that's high-level to play in that game, the Aztec Bowl. So anyway, the guy that I'm talking about, he's just telling me that, yeah, I'm down here playing this All-Star game, and I was talking to another guy out here from Fan Control Football. He's giving me the scoop and everything like that. So I'm still trying to scratch my head. Like I said, look, I'm kind of confused. I just got an email from the front office saying that they spoke with you today. Did you speak to somebody from the player development and player personnel office from Fan Control? He's like, Yeah, that guy, I talked to him today face to face. I said, so you telling me the guy that I'm telling you about is in Mexico right now? He said, yeah, that guy you talking about is out here at the Aztec Bowl scouting, and I just happened to walk up to him, and we, you know, introduced ourselves, and I had saw him later on, and I said, I'm going to go talk to that guy. He's from Fan Control Football. I'm going to go talk to him. Now, I had just told my guy last week, I say, look, man, I already sent your video and everything over there to him, and you need to try to make the Atlanta workout on January the 8th. And he was like, okay, I'm working on it now, just trying to find, you know, trying to find some hotel rooms and stuff like that. I'm looking into it now. I think I had that conversation with him, but if it wasn't him saying he was looking, because I got so many players, I might be mixing up somebody else's scenario. But anyway, he did tell me he was going to be looking into doing the January 8th workout in Georgia. He did tell me that. And so I left it at that because I said, well, I already sent your film. Let me know, because I already sent your film out there. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to play on national TV because they have an NBC platform and NBCLX. So I said, you know, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to get out there and play ball and do what you need to do. So moving from that point, I was still kind of confused on, well, by this time he had already told me that he had ran into the gentleman that I was talking to. But now it's clear to me that my contact is in Mexico, this young man, and they met face to face. So he said, I also went back to him later and we were talking, and then my contact had mentioned to him, he said, man, you know, your name sounds familiar. You seem familiar, man. And then I guess he went into his emails, and he said, you're the guy that Ramiro sent film on the other day. That's how I know you. Basically, he's saying that I know you because Ramiro Ferran sent your film to me the other day as a potential player for our league next year. And then, so, you know, I was just telling the player, I said, it's just funny how the moons kind of lined up for him, because like I said, he runs into me at Hub Camp out here in San Diego. I started trying to do a little work for him on his behalf to help him out since he recognized me. He's in Mexico doing this All-Star game. I've already sent this film out to Fan Control Football, FCS front office, because they requested my client list. They requested my client list to see who they could either offer a camp contract to based on their video, or who they wanted to see would recommend coming to a workout to see a little bit more. So I said, send this film out. He runs into my contact at this bowl game in Mexico. And so now all he has to do pretty much now is on Saturday try to be impressive on Saturday by going out there balling out, and hopefully my contact will have eyes on it, which that's usually the goal. Introduce yourself so people can put eyes on you, and then I've already sent your film ahead of time. So the moves lined up. They already got the film. Introduction has been made with my contact and the player, and now all the player has to do is perform well on Saturday to see what's the next step, whether he's going to be recommended to go to a workout or whether he's going to be offered a possible camp contract based on his performance in this All-Star game. Now, a lot of you know that they had a high-level running back, another guy that has used my management services for a brief moment. We didn't get too deep because I couldn't move him the way I needed to move him. But a lot of the route that he took is the route that I was going to put him on anyway. And, you know, I still was able to talk to a lot of different contacts that he wound up using that I had already knew anyway. Basically, the young man took the same route that I was going to put him on anyway, and the people that he wound up working with, I was going to send him there anyway, but he just was able to do it himself, which is good. He's proactive. So the young man that I'm talking about is my man Bryson Alleen. Bryson Alleen, running back out of Delaware State D1. He sent me his film about 2 years ago, and then I was able to get him a look for AFL, when AFL was here with the Albany Empire Arena 1. Coach Les Moss had saw his film, speaking of Bryson Alleen, had saw his film and was like, yeah, maybe we can invite him to camp. But by the time that time came around, the AFL 1 had folded. And so Bryson Aline wound up going to play in, you know, do, I forgot everything that he had did, but I know he ended up playing ball or signing a contract with the Sioux City Bandits. I think he wound up signing a contract with the Sioux City Bandits, and I was talking to my contact out there, Coach Loban, my contact Coach Loban out in Sioux City, about him and everything and signing with them and all that stuff. But anyway, I think he wound up going to Fan Control Football. Bryson Aline, he wound up going to Fan Control Football. And I say all this about Bryson Aline is because he was a high-level running back, right along with Darryl Vergis, superback Darryl Vergis, that was out there the last 2 years. But Bryson Aline, he was a high-level running back and receiver in Fan Control Football. So the thing about it is he got picked up for the XFL. And I'm taking you down this road, because I want you to understand how things line up. He wound up getting picked up for the XFL, Bryson Aline. I think he went to the Houston XFL team, the Houston Roughnecks, if I'm correct. But if Bryson, if you hear this show, you can call in and correct me about that, about any of these details. But anyway, just kind of like putting it out there, you know, my somewhat networking relationship with Bryson Aline, because I did get his film about 2 years ago, and we've talked a couple times. But anyway, moving from that, he got picked up for the Houston Roughnecks. So the way I'm looking at it for my guy, the player that I'm, you know, doing this testimony about, he has a similar playing style to Bryson Aline. So what I'm hoping is that in this All-Star game on Saturday at the Aztec Bowl, that the Fan Control Football player personnel and player development director, this young man, and kind of like see a lot of Bryson Aline in this player and be like, hey, since we lost Bryson Aline to the XFL, this is a good guy to bring in to kind of like fill that role in our league. So I'm just saying all that to tell everybody, when you follow directions of somebody who's truly trying to help you and truly trying to move you in the right direction, the moons line up. Imagine that. Imagine this. You run in, you see somebody on Twitter. You communicate with them. You kind of like keeping up with what they're saying. You go to a major pro scouting event, pro free agent scouting event, ran by a high level person in Don Yee, which is Tom Brady's agent. You go to that event, you run into this guy you've been seeing on Twitter. Y'all talk, befriend each other. Guy gets your film, sends it out to a high-level league like Fan Control Football, sends it in to the front office people, because I've sent multiple players to the front office, and they requested my players this year directly to me, emailed me directly and asked me to send my list in of my clients. This player that I'm doing this testimony about happens to be on that list. He goes to Mexico, plays in the Aztec Bowl, or practicing for the Aztec Bowl on this Saturday. He runs into the guy that I actually already had sent the film to. They introduce themselves. Then they talk later, and then it's a familiarity with my contact in Fan Control. He's like, hey man, I know who you are. Romero sent me your film the other day. And then so now eyes are going to be on that young man on Saturday in this bowl game, because the relationship between me and the player was made. The film got sent to Fan Control Football front office. The introduction was made at the Aztec Bowl practice. And then now eyes will be on him on Saturday by Fan Control Football front office personnel, all because that young man followed through on everything I asked him to send me. He followed through on getting me his film, his resume, had it, and photos, had everything set up the way I like it, name in the subject line, position and school and pro level experience in the subject line, measurables and awards in the body of the email, two paragraphs with your story in the body of the email, highlight link attached right below that in the body, and then two photos attached. One game action photo, and one headshot in jersey or a suit or, you know, taking your class picture. So he sent me everything the way I asked for. I got it out to the right desk, was made in Mexico, out of all places, not even in the United States. Contact was made in Mexico. And this young man, I'm believing, will probably get a great opportunity playing the Fan Control Football League, because, like I said, that league lost a great running back slash wide receiver, meaning, like, he, you know, Bryson Aileen. Bryson Aileen could catch the ball, and he could also also run the ball. So they lost a real quality back to the XFL Houston Roughnecks. Again, I'm speaking of Bryson Aileen right now. They lost, the Fan Control Football lost him to the XFL, which is great. That means that the Fan Control Football League, being on national TV on the NBC platform twice a day on Saturdays, they have the capability of putting eyes on you to move you up a level. And so he moved up from Fan Control to the XFL. That's the whole goal with these leagues. They want to move you up. That's a credit to them. So they lost Bryson Aileen. But the good thing about the guy that I'm talking about in this testimony, which is Andre Dydell. Andre Dydell, running back, wide receiver out of Edinburgh and Edinburgh University, and also running back, wide receiver out in the LFA League down in Mexico. He can actually replace Bryson Aileen's role in Fan Control Football, because they're very similar. I've saw the tape. They're the same type of back, pretty much the same size. So I'm just saying, I'm just mentioning both of these guys, Bryson Aileen moving on to the XFL, and then Andre Dydell, you know, having an opportunity now, because the director of player personnel and the director of player development had a conversation with him last night in Mexico. And then he verified with Andre Dydell that, hey, Ramiro sent me your film the other day. So it's just kind of funny how that whole dynamic all happened. But I'll timestamp this, Andre, and also Bryson Aileen. I'll timestamp this little conversation. And, you know, maybe you two guys can like, you know, maybe connect through my show or whatever, befriend each other. Never know. After this season, Andre, if you do good, if you get a Fan Control Football opportunity, maybe you do good. And if you and Bryson Aileen, you know, maybe meet on Twitter. Maybe he can open up the door for you to get a look for the XFL. You never know. I try to network all my guys that's, you know, somewhat networked with me or use my management services. I try to keep everybody networking with each other because, you know, you never know who can open up the door for you. And then you will turn around and turn and open up the door for them. So that's why I mentioned both of these young running backs, wide receivers in this testimonial, and just kind of like how the moons lined up for my man Andre Dydell. And I say all this because I want you guys to understand that when you follow instruction, good things happen. All you got to do is follow instruction. And like I said, Andre Dydell, everything I asked him to send me, he sent it, and he sent it in the correct way, and I started getting his film out. And then, like I said, the moons lined up for him last night. He was able to run into the person that I had just sent the film to, and that person verified with him that they had received the film. And so a lot of times I try to tell you street free agents that, you know, a lot of you, y'all come to me and say, oh, well, I don't want to use the service because I don't want to pay. I don't want to use the service because you charge too much. I don't want to use your service because you can't get me into the NFL. All these different things. Well, I run a business, just like I'm doing this show right now. This show costs money to run. I have to pay bills to do this show. I have to pay bills to market this show. All kinds of things. Money is a part of any business. So if you're a street agent out there and you feel some kind of way because I charge my clients for managerial services, either managerial services or full management or consultations, whatever. If you want a 30-minute consultation, that's $150 for a 30-minute consultation. But I credit it back. If I charge you $150 for a 30-minute consultation to answer all your questions, and I charge it back, to the actual fee of $600, $300 down initially, $300 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a five-day grace period. If I charge it back, you haven't been cheated. It's not like you paid me $150 for a consultation, then turn around and pay me full price for the service. No, that's not what I do. I'm gracious enough to add the consultation to your actual fees. Why do I do that? Because I try to be a fair, reasonable person. $600 isn't even a lot of money. That's not even a paycheck for me. And you're not paying me $600 a month. You only paid me $600 for that level. Pro-developmental film level is $600 to work with me to get you on the field. And then when we move up to a higher level with higher pay, like the CFL, XFL, USFL level, Arena One level, if they ever come back, then we'll renegotiate at that level. If you move up to the NFL, which is the highest of the high, we definitely are going to renegotiate at that level. So that's how I work. But if you're a street free agent sitting back crying and whining, oh, he charged me. Oh, he has a service fee for his business. You won't be like Andre Dydell. And I didn't even, a lot of people think that I don't help people. I gave this initial service to Andre for free. I gave this initial service to him for free. Now, if you want to come back and get with me up under full management, seeing how I worked fast, seeing how I was effective initially for him, and he want to come back and pay me for full management, that would be great. But at the same time, at least he knows that my service works. He knows that my service works, and I gave him a free opportunity based on the fact that he recognized me, you know, when he met me face-to-face. He recognized who I was from Twitter, and I appreciated that. So he got some free service. But if he wants to come back and use me for full management, that's totally up to him. But at least he knows if somebody out there, if I follow instructions, their service works and the moon's lined up for me on my journey into 2023. So big shout out to Andre Dydell, running back, LFA Pro League in Mexico and coming out of Edinburgh University. I'll tag you in this post and everything like that so you can hear this testimonial. And hopefully you can piggyback and let my live global listening audience and all these street free agents that will listen to this episode, hopefully you can piggyback off what I'm saying and let them know that this nothing that I'm making up, this story that I'm making up is actually true. And again, the scenario in brief actually goes, again, we met at Hub Camp in San Diego, befriended each other, I got his film, start sending it out. A front office contact for a major pro developmental league that has a TV platform on NBC got it. They ran into each other in Mexico for the Aztec Bowl. That contact from Fan Control Football verified that, hey man, I just got your film. Ramiro sent it to me. That's how I know you. And then now, when Andre Dydell plays in the Aztec Bowl on Saturday, that front office contact from Fan Control Football can have eyes on him and bring him in and give him a key role because they just lost a great running back to the XFL in Bryson Aileen. He went to the XFL. So hopefully Andre Dydell, being a similar type of player, can come in and fill that role that Bryson Aileen left open since he's moved on to the XFL. Hopefully Andre Dydell can come in and take that position and you fill that position and do just as well and possibly get his opportunity, in the XFL sometime this summer. You never know. But at the same time, I'm hoping that I'm going to tag Bryson Aileen in this story too. And hopefully maybe Andre and Bryson can maybe hook up online or something. And then, you know, never know, befriend each other. And you never know what happens when two people start networking with each other. Opportunities come for both people. You know, that's why I tell everybody, I network everybody that I know and that I network with and manage. I network everybody together because you never know what opportunities can come out of networking. Remember, your network is your net worth. Meaning the people that you know, the people that you know in your network can bring opportunities and opportunities to make income. So anyway, with that being said, it is 8:49 Pacific time on deck for those of you just tuning in. And you to the Stogan and Beer Radio Show, I'm your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogan and Beer Radio Show. Stogan and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is my Friday, so we'll be back on Monday. We won't be doing anything after today because Thursday is actually the last day that we do the show for the week. But we still have one more hour left to go. Time is 8:51 a.m. It is 50 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. We're going to go off into a station break and get off into some music mix. And I'm going to come back and we're going to get off into our topics today, the Knicks, Ground, the Hawks, and then we'll start, you know, talking all NBA action, NFL action, covering some scores from some other sports and everything like that. But I was just kind of like doing this first hour as a testimonial to that story last night. And again, big shout out and congrats to Andre Dydell, wide receiver, Edinburgh University, if I'm correct, and wide receiver, running back for the LFN Mexican League. I think Mexico has two leagues, LFN and LFA, but I think Andre Dydell is in the LFN League, and he's currently in Mexico getting ready to play in the Aztec Bowl on Saturday, and where he can be auditioning in front of a bunch of different leagues and definitely the Fan Control Football League, because they've already made contact, and so they'll have eyes on him on Saturday, definitely if they're still there. If not, we'll get the film and we'll send it to back to our contact in the front office, which is the director of player development. We'll send that film back to him, and hopefully he can get a contract out of this, or else get a contract out of it after he goes to do a workout, however they recommend him do it. But anyway, big shout out to Andre Dydell. Hopefully you can piggyback off this conversation. I'll do a time code, and then you can listen in and make your comments on your experience working with me thus far within this brief time frame. But anyway, our topic for today is Knicks Ground the Hawks, the host of the Bay Professional Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be but not limited to Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, and action recap from other NBA action. The host will cover scores and breaking news from the NFL, MLB, NHL, NCAA. The show's number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, will stop by to talk all things New York Knicks. And that's all things New York Knicks, all things Baltimore Ravens, and all things Major League Baseball. So D.C., our number one sports contributor, should be calling in at 15-minute mark into the second hour. So we're going to go off into a station break music mix, and we'll be back, and we'll get off into our topic and talking about how the Knicks grounded the Hawks last night. We talked about a little bit of that briefly. Right now on the monitor, they're saying Russell Westbrook, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, in a loss without LeBron and AD. Raptors beat the Lakers 126-113. Raptors beat the Lakers 126-113. Do we trust Westbrook in six-man role with the Lakers this season? So we'll get into all that type of stuff. Pelicans over the Detroit Pistons. New Orleans Pelicans, they, from what I'm hearing, they're in the number one position in the West in the NBA by beating the Detroit Pistons last night, and the Phoenix Suns losing bad to the Boston Celtics last night. And then again, we got the Knicks grounding the Hawks last night. Ice trade didn't show up last night and turn the temperature down in Madison Square Garden. So we'll get into all of that when we come back. But stand by. We're going to take a quick station break, and I'll be right back. Hello and good morning. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about horse racing, camel racing, dog racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests, badminton, water polo, mud wrestling, boxing, UFC, WWE. We talk about anything that comes across the monitor as a sport. At the same time, we talk a lot about football because this. We talk a lot about the NFL topics because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA, MLB, NHL, NCAA, men's and women's sports. All right, let's get off into our topic today, Knicks ground the Hawks. All right, topics covered will be but not limited to Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, and action from other NBA action. Last night, I was watching the Knicks and the Hawks, and Knicks actually looked pretty good. And my man, DC, our number one sports contributor, is actually supposed to be calling in to the show, you know, to discuss his beloved Knicks. DC from Maryland should be calling in about 7 minutes or so. He's going to call in about 15 after the hour. He has some stuff he had to deal with today, so he's coming to work a little late today. That's fine. But I always like to get him on when the Knicks have a big win or a big loss. But I did notice that last night in the Knicks game, the media experts were saying that Tom Thibodeau is went into this new lineup. And DC had mentioned to me that this new lineup situation was because the front office for the Knicks, Thibodeau, to play a young group of guys, meaning people under 30. So DC had let me know earlier, you know, in one of our early episodes that Tom Thibodeau has been starting guys like Derrick Rose, you know, the older guys, the vet guys. But last night they said Tom Thibodeau had to sit Derrick Rose down. He had to let him know that he wasn't going to be in the starting lineup tonight. If anything, he'd be coming off the bench. They're going into a 9-man rotation. And I guess that was a nice way of saying, I guess the way Tom Thibodeau came to Derrick Rose was more like a nice way of saying, I'm benching you, but you're available if I got to go back to you. And I guess the front office finally put enough pressure on Tom Thibodeau to say, hey, we want these young guys out there on the floor. We want the young guys. So Julius Randle, I'm guessing maybe not quite 30 yet. I don't know his actual age. I don't think he's quite 30 yet because I believe he came in the league. He might have been like a one-and-done guy at Kentucky and came into the NBA for the Lakers, if I'm correct, back in the day. Then he wound up going to the Pistons. But he was leading that young squad last night. And between him, R.J. Barrett, and Brunson, they actually look pretty good. I don't think Brunson had a huge game, but they actually look pretty good. Julius Randle, I think he had a nice amount of scoring. R.J. Barrett did his thing, so they actually look pretty good tonight. So I'm kind of excited to get DC on here and get his take on that. I'm anxious to get him on here and get his take on his beloved Knicks because they shut down Ice Trey. I don't think the Hawks shot well from three last night. There was the notes I got from the game and listening to the media experts while I watched the game because I actually watched that whole game for the most part. And the Hawks just could never just really get into that game the right way. Then plus they're saying that Ice Trey and Nate Robinson, who's that, the head coach, Nate McMillan and Ice Trey, ain't getting along. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on there. Because Ice Trey, Trey Young, he seems to be a good young man. I looked at one of his documentaries about he and his family. Looked like he's a guy of a Christian background. He has a Christian base, good family, good father. I don't think his father played in the NBA, but his father did play high-level Division I ball, I think, at Oklahoma State or something like that. So Ice Trey comes from good stock, as they say, good family background. But I'm just trying to figure out why him and Nate McMillan ain't getting along, because Nate McMillan, I used to watch him back in the day. I mean, he was in my era, you know. He was a long-time Pacer, Indiana Pacer, if I'm correct. I mean, he was a role player, solid guy in the rotation or whatever. I think he was actually a starter, but I know if he wasn't a starter, he was coming off the bench in like a six-man role. I mean, I know who he is. I remember him playing for the Pacers. And he seems like a good guy. Seems like, and I think he was coaching the Pacers as a head coach for a while. But now he's with the, you know, with the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm just trying to figure out why seems to be a mild-mannered guy like Nate McMillan and a mild-mannered guy like Trae Young. Why y'all can't get along? That's kind of weird to me. Hopefully they said, you know, one minute they said they wasn't getting along. They had a discussion this week. Then it was said that during the summertime that Nate McMillan actually went out to Oklahoma to meet with Trae Young and had some things out, try to figure out how to make this thing work with the team and things work within the team and the organization and stuff like that. And everything's supposed to be good. So I got to do some more research on it and see if they had that conversation, things were good, then they went back bad again. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how those two not getting along, because if the star and the coach ain't getting along, you know, it's going to be a mess, because maybe it'll turn into one of them things like with Dwight Howard wasn't getting along with his head coach in Orlando. He was like, either he goes or I go type of thing, you know, but it winds up the coach leaves and then, you know, Dwight Howard leaves as well. So I'm just like, that's never a good thing when your star is, like, demanding the coach to have to be fired, and then, you know, then he wind up leaving the team anyway. So hopefully they get this thing squared away. Well, as I'm looking at my monitor, look like somebody decided to go ahead on to finally show up for work. You know, we'll write him up later for being late for work, but I know things happen. People got personal business to take care of, and my guest sports contributors, they're doing me a favor by coming on the show, so I guess I won't write him up because he's actually working for free. But anyway, I got my man DC getting ready to come on to the show. But before I get to you, DC, I want to just ask you this question right here, and then I'll chime you on in. How were the Knicks able to shut down the Hawks last night? Ice Trae wasn't able to get, you know, turn the temperature down in the Garden last night like he normally does. He normally comes in there and freezes you guys out. The notes are the Hawks shot bad from three. The Knicks went with a smaller lineup. Everybody that was on the court were under 30 years old, you know, I guess including Julius Randle, who had a good game last night from what I saw, pretty much saw the whole game. How was this young lineup able to ground the Hawks? Like my topic says, Knicks ground the Hawks. Trae Young didn't have a good game last night. Then on top of that, you know, y'all benched Derrick Rose. You benched Derrick Rose. I guess that the heat came from the front office that Tibbs got to go ahead and go young now. They don't want to hear anymore. So I'm going to go on time you in. We got my man DC, my number one sports contributor, calling in from Maryland. And good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. I apologize for not being able to come on earlier. To answer your question, the first issue is DeJounte Murray got injured. And I think I think that made the difference for Atlanta, because DeJounte Murray is a star, and he easily would have contributed 25 points. And then they had another guy that was out. Atlanta did their forward. He was out, and so I think that they weren't at full strength. And so I think that made a difference. The other thing is you're right. The Knicks got hot from behind the 3-point line, which is a little unusual. Just percentage wise, they're at the bottom for 3-point shooting in the league. So they had a good shooting night. And it's funny, they had a good shooting night despite Jalen Brunson not playing well.
Right.
He didn't have a lot of points. I think he only had 16 points last night, which as a starting point guard is obviously below his expectations. So I think a combination of those three things, and then of course some home cooking. Is why the Knicks won. The funny part is Nate McMillan put the Atlanta Hawks in the zone early. And and anyone who knows basketball knows that when you go to a zone defense, it's because the team's not a good jump shooting team. And so you go to a zone to force them to shoot the jump shot. And so the Knicks just happened to be hitting the jump shot yesterday. But if you notice, at one point they were up by 18, and then Atlanta got back in the game, right? And the reason they got back in the game is because the Knicks is not a jump shooting team. And so that got them back in the game. So to answer that, regarding Thibodeau's rotation with killing Derrick Rose out of rotation, I think it's smart. I think that they should put Cam Reddish in the rotation and take out Deuce McBride. However, I do like the fact that they're at least trying to play younger guys.
Did they finally get Grimes going? Well, Grimes got going. I think he wound up getting about, 20-some points. That's y'all. He's a new guy for you guys, first year in, right, for you guys?
It's his second year, and he actually – the talk all year was that he was going to replace Fournier as the starting shooting guard for the team. And so as soon as he got healthy – because he started the season on the injured list. And as soon as he got healthy, that's exactly what happened. Fournier was benched, and he was put in as a starter. And that's what the team's going with as a starting two guard, which I'm okay with. Grimes, young guy, 6'5", good defender, good three-point shooter. He looks like John Starks out there, just not as quick as Starks. He's that kind of player. Good defender. He's bigger than Starks. Starks was only 6'3". He's 6'5". So that's a good thing. But I see him being a good move for them. I just think letting Cam Reddish go, because that's the latest word out of New York, is that they're going to let Cam Reddish go along with Derrick Rose and Fournier. I don't like that move, though.
What was Quickley's number? I heard his name called quite a few times last night.
I don't particularly like Quickley. I recognize his talent. He's actually from Maryland. He's from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I don't like his game. He's a streaky jump shooter, and he's a above average defender, but he's not all that great. I think they should trade Quickley. I don't think he's going to be what they think he's going to be. He's just like Derrick Rose, only younger. You say, well, why would you get rid of a Derrick Rose-like player? He doesn't go to the basket like Derrick Rose. He's a Derrick Rose, just younger, but I think they should trade Quickley. I think they should trade Quickley, keep Cam Reddish. I agree with trading Fournier out of respect to Fournier. He needs to be traded because they're not playing him at all. Like, he didn't – even in the blowout game, he didn't get off the bench, right, because it would have been offensive to put him in, when you play your scrubs, right, to put in a savvy vet that's making the third highest salary on a team.
Well, let's go to the second member of your big three, R.J. Barrett. What did his numbers look like last night?
His numbers were respectable. R.J. played well yesterday, but it was kind of an aberration because he hasn't been playing well all year. So it was good that he showed up on a national televised game. Typically, the Knicks don't show up and play well on a nationally televised game, and then the following game, when it's only on the local network, then they show out, but he actually showed up. Same thing with Randall. I've been saying all year I trade Randle for a bag of potato chips, and I meant that. I still don't like his game. He played well yesterday, but I don't want the guy on the team anymore. I don't like his attitude. This is a guy that assistant coach walked up to him and showed him videotape of a mistake he made. He slapped the laptop out of the hand of the assistant coach. Slapped it. It broke. It fell and broke on the ground. He just slapped it like, man, I don't want to see that crap. And he slapped it. And, you know, and it's like, what? You're a star player, and you don't want to, you know, he's got
to
attitude
problem. You don't want to be
coached. Right. So I don't, and he's not, he's a talented guy, but everyone in the NBA is talented, right? Which is why I never yield to someone's talent. If you made a professional league, you're talented, right? Let's just be honest. You're talented. So everyone's talented. So that's not enough for me. And his attitude is just not good. I don't want him.
Speaking of going back before I get back on Randle, but going back to R.J. Barrett, the second member of your Big Three, how do you feel about him with that dirty play last night? I never thought him to be a dirty player, man. You know, kids from Canada, you know, went to St. John's. Never seen him, never felt that he would be a dirty player to take out, the guy that went out, I forgot his name, the other key piece for
the
Hawks.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray. I don't think it was a dirty play, but there is bad blood between the Knicks and the Hawks. When the Hawks put the Knicks out last year in the playoffs, the power forward for Atlanta was, you know, clowning the team and you know, the players and slapping them around a little bit, you know, talking back. And so, you know, there's bad blood because of that playoff series, and as it should be. But, you know, DeJounte Murray's obviously new to Atlanta. He wasn't there when they had the playoff series. He was in San Antonio. But, you know, he's part of the team now, so he's gonna get it. So I don't think it was a dirty play, but definitely there's bad blood between the team. So I'm not gonna hold that against RJ.
He didn't help him up.
Well, he shouldn't.
You mean he shouldn't? I mean, with sportsmanship, don't they teach sportsmanship all the way in AAU ball?
Man, we shake hands before the game and after the game, but during the game, we're not on the same team.
All right, going back to Randle. With this young unit, I mean, how old is Randle? 28? Because with this young unit, they said everybody's below 30. So with this young unit, look like he's commanding them well. Do you think that when the older guys was out there with him, was that a problem or was just basically his attitude?
It's his attitude. I don't care who you put him on the court with. It's his attitude.
Okay.
Again, the dude's talent, so I'm not going to take away from his skill set. Right? He do some dumb stuff.
Did,
like in the game last night, he kept dribbling in the middle of traffic and – He made some good passes and he made some tough shots, but you know, I didn't see that as a great thing. I saw that as an aberration because he did that last night, but when the Knicks play tomorrow, he's not gonna do the same thing. He's gonna turn the ball over, he's gonna travel, he's gonna throw the ball out of bounds, you know, he's gonna do all of that this time when they play again. So I'm not gonna give him credit because he did it in one game and it worked.
I want to ask you something about the Hawks. I noticed that it was something that you guys were doing to the Hawks last night that the Hawks, to me, didn't pick up on, and if this player had a better shot, and I spoke about him earlier, Grimes. Grimes kept getting to this one spot over into the corner, and he did. I did see him sink a couple of those shots. But it seems to me that the Knicks, not the Knicks, but the Hawks, they never got over there to, like, try to guard him. I guess they were just saying, "Well, we'll just let him shoot and see if he make it." This is something that I took from. I don't know if you saw that, but I was like, "Man, if that kid Grimes, if he could actually just be like a Steph Curry, he could kill them all night tonight. Cause they ain't rotating over there to defend him. They just letting him go to that spot. They won't even get him off his spot."
Yes, you're 100% correct. That's the issue. The issue with Grimes is He is the jump shooter. He is the future John Stocks. But the issue for the Knicks is he hasn't been doing well prior to this game because he's really just gotten back on the court, number one. And number two, again, Nate McMillan made the decision to run the zone. So when you run the zone, you're waiting on a jump shooter to beat you, right? And Grimes
right.
was the jump shooter that
right.
beat him, and that's what made the difference. Otherwise, if Grimes had been off last night, it wouldn't have been the way the game went. It wouldn't have went that way.
As far as coaching goes, what's going on, man? You know, Nate McMillan, I mean, I heard this last night. I don't know if it's true, but they're saying that Nate McMillan, the mild-mannered Nate McMillan, former player for the Pacers, former coach for the Pacers, seems to be all-around good guy. Then you got his player, Trae Young, Ice Trae. Why in the hell are they beating? I mean, and you know, both of these are mild-mannered guys. Why is that not working?
They claim there's a miscommunication that Trae Young was told, don't come to the game if you can't come to shoot around. But that wasn't what was said. They claim it was a miscommunication, and you know, but of course the talk is that if Trae Young don't like Nate McMillan, that Nate McMillan's gonna get fired and Trae Young's gonna keep his job, right?
Let me make this point before you finish that. I made this point right before you called in to my global listening audience that this seems like the classic Dwight Howard and Stan Van Gundy, to where Dwight Howard was like, hey, either he goes and I'm out of here. Then they get rid of Stan Van Gundy, and Dwight Howard exits to L.A. anyway. Is it a similarity
yep.
there?
Well, the thing is it could be. They claim they've resolved it, but I'll tell you this, and this is where a lot of people miss it, and I'm glad you bring that up, and that is Trae Young is an exceptional talent. He is, but he has not won a championship. In my opinion, you don't give that kind of nod to someone that has not won a championship. And I'm glad you bring up the Dwight Howard story, because Dwight Howard is that same kind of player.
Right.
He was good at the time. He was good, but he wasn't great. He's not Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion, and he never won a ring. And in my opinion, the reason why he's not Hall of Fame worthy is because he didn't win a ring as a star player. I don't care if you say, well, he rode the pile with Kobe and he got, I'm saying he never led a team to a title ever, right? He couldn't.
Right.
His offensive game was limited. His big deal with him was defensive and rebounding. I mean, dude with big shoulders, and so nobody could box him out. And he had hops, yeah, you know, with the whole raising the rim during the slam dunk.
That's why Shaq said he wasn't no Superman. He got pissed off. He said, don't ever call that guy Superman, because he wasn't nothing like me. I'm Superman. So I guess Shaq was right.
Right. Right. He was. Because, again, dude's not winning. At the end of the day, you got to win. Right? Sean Kemp could jump out of the gym. But Sean Kemp never won a ring. Right? He never led a team to a ring. The only thing Sean Kemp could master was cocaine and liquor.
Right.
And that's what took him
down. You can't come to work high.
That's right. That's right. You know. And Dwight Howard had all those sex scandals off the field, man. That stuff was crazy. You know, when he was with the Wizards, it became a huge deal about his sex life. It was crazy.
I'm never gonna be a man to criticize another man for liking women. Now you know me. I'm never gonna be a man to. I'm never gonna down a man for liking women. So.
Well, let me refresh you and your listeners about Dwight Howard and his sex escapade. It wasn't women. It was transgender women, not natural women.
Oh God.
Dwight Howard Dwight Howard got hemmed up in a scandal because when he was in L.A., he was dating a dude that really is a chick. Well, a chick that really was a dude. And he was big in that whole lifestyle. So when it started coming out about his problem, he took the spot with the Wizards. And so he called himself going clear across country to get a distance himself. Well, it didn't make a difference because old girl came on this end of the country and started talking about it here. And then he got hemmed up in D.C. with a scandal over the same thing with a transgender person. And so then the word became that's what he – all he do is transgender. So then his wife came out and spoke out like, no, my husband is straight and all that. But you can't have 7,000 scandals with transgender folks if there ain't some truth to it, right? Like, one allegation is one thing because that could just be somebody trying to get at you. But when there's multiple stories and multiple towns and multiple scenarios about you hanging with that element of people, sex scandals, apartments, he was paying for apartments and all kinds of stuff, it don't look good.
Well, I'll say this here, and I'll move on from that one. You know, you got the right to love who you want to love, but, I mean, you can't do it while you're married to a woman. So that was wrong all the way around. But let me ask you this here before I segue to the Pelicans. With Thibodeau, you had mentioned with y'all head coach, you had mentioned this earlier that they were putting pressure on him to start a younger lineup. Why did he do it now? Why did he go ahead and do it now? He said he's going into a 9-man rotation. He said it like he told Derrick Rose before the game, hey, you're scratching you from the starting lineup. Just, you know, be available in case I need you, whatever the case may be. I guess that was a nice way of saying, yeah, you bench. You're going to be coming off the bench. You're going to be like a Russell Westbrook. You're not even like a Russell Westbrook. You far down the bench. You're done, basically. You're just going to be here as a player coach now. Number one, how do you think that why do you think people came to that conclusion? Because you did mention this. I mean, are they putting pressure on, like, if you don't do it, you're fired? And since they made him do it, do you think next year he's going to just say, I'm out of here anyway? I don't like what y'all making me do. You don't tell me what to do. Go ahead.
Thibodeau was on the hot seat. He had to make a change because the Knicks was playing the Dallas Mavericks, and we were up by 30 at the half, and we lost the game. We were up by 30 at the half, 45 in the middle of the third quarter, and we ended up losing the game by getting blown out by 20 by the end of the game. So at one point, the Knicks was up 45, and we ended up losing the game by 25 points. It ended up being a blowout in the middle of the third quarter. The game shifted, right? And so Thibodeau is on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat because he don't make in-game adjustments, and he doesn't want to play his younger players. Last year, when we had another one of the former Chicago Bull players, his name is Casey, he's a power forward, he would play that dude before he would play Obi Toppin every single time. And every time Obi Toppin came in the game, we would take the lead, and he would sit Obi Toppin and bring in Taj Gibson, and then we would lose the lead. And he kept going to Taj Gibson, and it got to the point where the fans were like, come on, man, like, you can't. And he kept arguing it was analytics. And everyone's like, man, forget the stats. We looking at the score. When you bring certain players in the game, the team changes. The chemistry of the team, the energy of the team changes. Forget the stats.
But Shaquille's crazy.
Right?
Taj Gibson is his guy, though. Taj Gibson is this guy from Chicago.
Right, but everyone knows that was 20 years ago, right? You can't, you know, I get that it, you know, I get that you want to play with the, you want to dance with the girl you brought to the party.
Right.
But if the girl you brought to the party got bad feet and it's a finer chick sitting on the sideline who got good feet, bring the girl with the good feet on the dance floor. Right.
Well, I'm gonna segue here.
That's Thibodeau's problem.
Real, I'm going to segue real quick to the New Orleans Pelicans, not to cut you off. I'm going to segue to the Pelicans. I heard in the West that with the Pelicans defeating the Detroit Pistons last night and the Suns losing, and I'm talking about losing horrendously, we'll get on that later, to the Boston Celtics, the Pelicans are first in the West now. Am I correct?
Yeah, which is not surprising because they are very talented. We talked about it. Even when you had JB on here one time, we talked about it. They are very talented. And that's where the league's getting to. Getting to the point where, again, these younger teams, these younger players, you get the right mix of athleticism and some veterans, they're going to do it. These young boys can do it. You know, and Chris Paul is just not the guy for Phoenix no more. The window is closed. Devin Booker is still an assassin, but Chris Paul is not that dude. You know, he's not.
Man,
now what? I want to make one declaration because the Ravens play the Steelers Sunday. You know, Lamar Jackson's injured. The backup, Tyler Huntley, is going to be playing. And all the talking heads are saying the Ravens are going to lose to the Steelers. The game is in Pittsburgh. So the whole argument is this is going to be an L. And I'm going to say it's going to be a win. Tyler Huntley is going to win the game for the Ravens. It's going to be one of those crazy games where it comes down to the last second drive and he's going to beat the Steelers. So I want to go on record. So feel free to bug me next week. If the Ravens lose, feel free to call me back next week. But I believe the Ravens are going to beat the Steelers.
I don't think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to be honest. Because the Steelers, They suck this year. They ain't good. So it's like, I mean, yeah, they're going to come out. It's a rivalry game. They're going to try to come out and play. But Huntley is just as good with his feet and has a better arm than Lamar Jackson. And he's taking all the reps with the ones this week. So my whole thing is I don't really see it being a close game. I'm going to be honest. I don't see it being. If they come out and play the way that they played against the Saints, the way they played against, and we got a tough defense. I think our defense is better than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I mean, if you guys come out there with the same game plan, I don't see it being close. I mean, I'm surprised you're saying you see it close because their offense can't do anything. Kenny Pickett is still like struggling a little bit, learning. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, George Pickens is his favorite receiver. And George Pickens hasn't been killing it the last couple of weeks. They have been struggling offensively.
And he pissed off.
I agree with that.
He pissed off. He's yelling at the offensive coordinator, tell my brother Pickens, whatever, to get me the ball. Tell the other Pickens to get me the ball. Right?
Right.
I don't see that being close. In other NFL news, Baker Mayfield is supposed to be starting tonight for the Rams against the Raiders at SoFi Stadium. Do you see Baker Mayfield winning this game? I don't.
No. But surprisingly, I see him throwing the ball pretty well. I still think he's going to give up a pick. I think he's going to throw two touchdowns and one pick, and the pick's going to be a dumb interception. Right, I see that's a classic Baker Mayfield with a dumb pick. You know, he's going to run for a couple of first downs, and he's going to energize the offense in that way. But I don't see him coming out with a win. Surprisingly, but I don't. And I think, you know, what's funny about the Rams is they mortgaged their future, and it worked that 1 year, and that's it, right? It worked that 1 year, and it's it, and that's it. And it's funny because we all know that you can't buy a ring. Every sport has tried it. The Lakers, remember they had Karl Malone, Kobe, They had all them stars, and they barely made the playoffs. Like, I mean, you just can't buy a title. We always try it. The Ravens tried it one year. They brought up Deion Sanders, and he played with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, and they didn't win a title, right? You just can't. It's been proven that you can't buy a championship.
Well, the only way that Baker Mayfield has a chance tonight is because the Raiders couldn't game plan for him. First of all, it's a quick trade. Raiders couldn't game plan for him, so he may make some plays, but I don't really think he's going to make a lot of plays for one simple reason. He don't know the freaking playbook. They can talk all this stuff about, oh, yeah, well, terminology, you know, universally, we may call 30 pop, we may call it 30 go, but everybody know that's run up the middle. Yeah, I get all that on some of the basic plays, but, you know, you still don't know the playbook. It's one thing, like you told me about when y'all brought in, what's the gentleman's name, Smith from Chicago, and I said, well, he's not going to be effective against the Saints, but you mentioned one thing. Say, no, all he got to do is, you know, tackle. That's all he needs to know how to do is tackle. I said, well, he don't know the playbook. He said, all he has to do is know how to tackle. And I said, okay, yeah. And that works on defense. But offense is a little bit different, especially at the quarterback position. Especially when you position call. You understand what I'm saying? That's like
– I do. I agree with you.
Yeah. So they're going to run the ball. They're going to have to run the ball.
But the Raiders do know that quarterback. The Raiders are in the same conference with the Browns. They've played against him before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're in the same conference, not the same division. But I don't know how many times they've seen him. I don't know how many times they've seen him since Baker been in the league. But like I said, I feel that Baker's going to struggle. But before I let you up off here, it's 9:43. Everybody that's listening to the show, this is the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. We got our number one sports contributor to the show, DC out of Maryland, talking all things New York Knicks and Baltimore Ravens. But, DC, before you get out of here, I want to ask you about this situation with OBJ, because I was thinking about maybe if y'all brought him in, you know, y'all could have an opportunity in the playoffs. But then I said, well, they don't throw the ball a lot. Because you got two running quarterbacks, so OBJ ain't going there number one. But what do you think about Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones sitting back looking and saying, well, we're gonna probably pass right now. But this is what I thought. I said on the show yesterday, and I'm going to let you piggyback off of this and then get you off of here. I said that Jerry Jones probably, knowing him, probably said, I'm taking him. Stephen Jones probably gave him pushback and said, you know what, Dad? I got to protect. You're getting a little bit older. You always want to spend all this money on these guys, and I'm not letting you do it. This guy it hadn't worked out for nobody, like a full workout. He's sending all these tapes of his rehab and all this stuff. And rehab tapes are just like a highlight tape. I'm going to show you what the day I look good. He's not going to show you the day it's cold outside. He come in and that injury to that knee is stiff, it's tight, and you can't move the right way. And then what if he's just doing interviews with teams, but he's not really out there like running through the drills, doing all the performance drills, because he's saying now that, well, I won't be ready till like 5 weeks to play. So that lets me know that your conditioning is limited, probably based on your injury. I'm going to let you speak to that. What do you think happened there? Why did negotiations fail in Dallas?
First of all, I think the Cowboys was actually smart for once.
Yeah.
By not bringing in OBJ, number one. Number two, I thought giving him a look was smart. And number three, I'm going to quote John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh for the Ravens, he always talks about it. He says, man, the NFL combine's great because you get to see guys working out. He said, but guys working out in shorts and T-shirts, they always look good. He said, guys in shorts and T-shirts always look good. It's when you put pads on them and get them out on that field that you see their true character and their true talent. And he's right, right? We can look good in a pickup game all day in the park, right? But a lot of people that look good in flag football probably never even played real football on any level. Right? Because, again, once you put pads on and somebody get hit back real hard, right, and yeah. really stop you from moving forward, that changes your skill set. And so I think with OBJ, that's exactly what you had. He looked good working out. Like you said, highlight tapes of you working out is one thing. But let's get a doctor, our doctor in here to look at that knee. And when that doctor went in there and looked at that knee, he said, mm-mm. If he was with us right now, I wouldn't let you play him. Right?
Yeah.
And so
pressing on that knee, pulling on that knee, his eyes still
that's
look,
right.
Still,
that's
like,
right.
Like, yeah.
That's right.
Like Kawhi Leonard. Like Kawhi Leonard. Remember?
That's right. Yep, I do. They put that thing under some lights and put some dye in there and probably looked around to see what was going on and said, oh, no. Oh, no. Right? And I think Dallas got good chemistry right now. I don't think they needed to bring in a guy that's not going to do it. Now, you asked me why the Ravens didn't look at him. The Ravens picked up Deshaun Jackson. And when he has played, he has looked good.
Yeah, he wasn't injured. He probably had to play in shape, but y'all had time to play him into shape. He's been there now, a little over a month now?
Yeah.
So y'all had time to play him into shape. But before we get you out of here, go ahead and tell us who the Knicks got next and what's your prediction on them.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I love my boys, and they're a great team. And right now their record is mediocre. Takes away from the good wins you see, like with yesterday. Now they're off today, but they play tomorrow, and they play Charlotte. They play Charlotte tomorrow, and I think that they'll win. But
that's a win.
But I'll tell you this, I want to see this rotation that Thibodeau is using. He's using a guy named Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride is a really short shooting guard. He's really a point guard, but they playing him at the shooting guard position, and he's not that good of a shooter, which is why I said I'd much rather see them play Cam Reddish instead of Deuce McBride. But Deuce McBride is a good on-the-ball defender. However, they're playing them with Quickly, which, again, is pointless. Two really small guys in the backcourt that's got pretty much the same kind of game. It's no different than playing Deuce McBride and Derrick Rose and Quickly in the backcourt, and it's not a good mixture. The Knicks got a lot of good individual pieces. They're just not using them well, and that's why Thibodeau, to me, needs to be fired.
Well, you know, he's a defensive guy, man. That's probably why they're starting this guy, man, because he's, like I say,
problem is? The Knicks, he's a defensive guy, but the Knicks is almost last in the league in defense. We're in the bottom five in defense.
That's because they had a bunch of old men on the court.
So then that takes away from his whole thing, right? If the Knicks was number one in the league in defense, but we was losing, then you could say, okay, but we're not. We're like bottom five in defense, yet he's a defensive coach, right?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Well, look, man, I'm going to let you get up out of here, man. We're going to go ahead and close the show out. Everybody that's tuning in, this is Stoking the Bear Radio Show. We have our number one guest sports contributor, DC from Maryland, talking all things Baltimore Ravens, New York Knicks, and all other topics. But, DC, I want to thank you, man, for being on the show, and we'll get you back on here soon, man. Thanks for calling in, and you have a great day.
You too, my brother.
All right. Yes, everybody that's tuning in, this is the Stoking the Bear Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoking the Bear Radio Show. But once again, we just had our number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, talking all things New York Knicks and the Baltimore Ravens and other topics in the NFL and NBA. Thank him for coming on the show. He always has a great insight about sports-related matters. With that being said, we want to go ahead on and get ready to close out the show. I want to just say, again, thank the universe for the breaking news today of Brittany Griner being freed from a Russian penal colony, being freed and on her way back home to reunite with her family before Christmas. That's what we had been praying for on this show. We also want to keep Paul Paul Whelan in our prayers as well, that he would be freed soon to come home before Christmas as well. I think they're still negotiating in this prisoner exchange right now, his release, and hopefully we can get that done. Along with all the other, let's pray for all the other detainees around the world, whatever country they may be detained in, that they will be able to be freed and be able to come home and be with their family before Christmas. So let's pray for that. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for the people in Ukraine. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't want to be a part of this war, killing their own people in Ukraine. And I pray for all these guys that they're trying to draft into this war. Pray for this war to end. Pray for peace around the world. Everybody be love, not hate. Be light, not darkness. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. There is only one race. That's the human race. And with that being said, I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. We're going to get ready to set black and fade off. Stand by. This has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We'll be back on Monday morning, God willing, talking everything sports that's coming across the monitor. I want everybody to stay safe out there. Make sure you keep your hand sanitizer on you and your face mask. Watch out for monkeypox, face mask on in crowded spaces. Get your flu vaccinations, get your COVID-19 boosters. Do all that good stuff to keep everybody in the household safe and everybody in the community safe. I want everybody to stay safe out there, and we'll see you back here on Monday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. This is Romero Ferran, the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Set black, fade all.